American State Trials, 1918, Volume X. Leo Frank Document, page 90. Here's the translated text as follows. 58X, American State Trials. George Urquhart. I had some personal acquaintance in 1855 with Worrell. I boarded in the same house with him and his father and mother. He occupied part of my dental office and was constantly there during office hours and paid every attention to his business. His manners and conduct in his profession exhibited skill. I had full confidence in Worrell, who often acted as my agent in collecting money. Worrell was frank and polite. He was an attendant on religious services, and I have no knowledge of his ever resorting to vulgar or unbecoming company, taverns, or tippling houses. He was fond of the society of the ladies of the village. He did not associate with the young men of the town. He was a man of truth. Marcus Wright. I now reside in St. Louis. I knew Worrell at Portsmouth, Ohio, in the summer of 1849. He was in the employ of W.M. Eldon, a dry goods merchant. He was well liked there by the people, a member of the Baptist Church and also engaged in the Sabbath school as a teacher. I have seen him take charge of a class twice. I never saw anything about him to show but what he was perfectly sane. I don't know of his having had any convulsions or fits there. He was fretful, that was all I could see. I next saw him the day after I arrived in St. Louis in the jail, recognized him, and he me, without my mentioning his name. He seemed to be very much pleased at seeing me, so much that he called to his father, "Here is Mr. Wright." January 26th, James F. McGee. I reside at St. Louis. Previously, I lived at Baltimore. I know Worrell. I first saw him at Vincennes last winter, at the railroad depot, next in the cars. I was going to Baltimore. Worrell introduced himself to me. He asked me the best route to Baltimore. He had on a brown cloth cap, an overcoat, dark colored and dark pantaloons, a black frock coat under his overcoat. He had a watch and vest chain and several rings on his fingers. He had a beard and mustache, but no whiskers. His hair was unusually long. I don't recollect what time we left. We took cars for Indianapolis and remained there all night. Worrell got in the same cars with me and my wife. He brought on a pair of saddlebags, which he carried in the cars. He had no trunk. At Indianapolis, he put up at a public house just opposite the depot, at which I put up. We started from there the next morning. He had on then blue military pantaloons. The next night we reached Crestline, where we stopped all night. We put up at the same hotel. We left the next morning. He still kept the saddlebags with him in the cars. At Pittsburgh, I remarked I would go to a store and buy a shirt and get shaved. He said he believed he would do the same, that as he was getting in the neighborhood of his friends, he would look better for it. I told him he would look better for having his whiskers trimmed. He got shaved and had only his mustaches taken off altogether. When he got up from the chair, I told him, "If I had not seen you sit down there, I should not have known you.